If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Nice to hear your voice, John.
Just as an aside to start, nice to see your dad's op-ed in the Tribune the other day. I couldn't agree with him more on just about everything he said.
It was very well said and well spoken. Yep. I'm actually going to see him this weekend, so I hadn't seen him in a couple weeks, so he's doing well.
I'm glad to hear it. I saw him at an event for George Manius last year, I think it was, and he looked in pretty good shape. And just for the edification of our listeners, the op-ed that he posted was that we need to end gerrymandering in Illinois. And a friend of mine says, yeah, but only if everybody else does. If we had better representation of Republicans or conservatives in Illinois, which we should, we would tilt the scales even more in favor of the Republican Party, because other states have equally gerrymandered their states in favor of that side. So we almost need a national consensus on that issue, don't we?
We do. Both parties do it. Both parties take advantage of it. They point the finger at each other, but it's not healthy for democracy in the long run, because you create super red districts, super blue districts, so there's no incentive to work across the aisle, which, of course, you know, our democracy and our Congress is predicated on having to compromise with 435 of us.
What are you hearing from your constituents? Are you back in central or northern Illinois now?
I am. Well, I am. I would say this. I mean, I think people are generally excited for the new administration. They're excited about the opportunity to move the country in a different direction. I think people are happy that the election is over with now, but now we have to follow through on, you know, the promises we made. But I think the economy, illegal immigration, those are things that are on people's minds. And if you go back and look at the election, John, if you look at the polling, one thing that never changed was 70% of the people, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, thought the country was headed in the wrong direction, predicated on two things, the economy and illegal immigration. And that's, I think, what President Trump and the Congress will focus on.
In what way?
Well, I think on the economy, bringing down the cost of inflation, I think you can do that by a number of things. Stronger energy production, energy independence, because energy not only costs people at the pump, but, you know, it's manufacturing, it's production, it's new businesses, those type of things. Secondly, listen, interest rates have to come down. We're going to have a tax bill this year that's going to help bring relief to middle and lower class folks and to small businesses. And I think deregulation and cutting spending can all factor in on bringing down the cost of living for working families. So I think that'll be a part of it. And then on the immigration side, I mean, I think we've already seen with the executive orders that have been put in place, from Remain in Mexico to stopping catch and release, those have had an effect already.
I want to ask you about tariffs relative to all of this, but just quickly about taxes. Do you think that the tax cut that is set to sunset at the end of this year should be renewed, or should it be allowed to lapse?
No, it has to be renewed. We have to make it permanent. And these, just to remind your listeners, these tax cuts are for really small and medium-sized businesses. So whether it's the 199A that is for S-Corps and LLCs, small businesses, 100% bonus depreciation, research and development tax credit, those are ones that we believe need to make permanent. And then for lower and middle-class folks, if we do nothing, John, we'll have $4.5 trillion of tax increases, and that would be very disruptive to the economy. So going back to 2017, we had, after that tax cut, we had the best economy in my lifetime. So I think that's what our focus is to try to get that done here in the next couple months.
Congressman, I have not talked to an economist, and I've talked to a few who think that these tariffs are going to bear fruit. They're just going to raise prices. They're going to hurt us in a number of ways. And I rather believe that the president knows that, but that this is the bitter pill we need to swallow. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, first of all, I think a lot of it is leveraging. He's talked about tariffs, but of course, March 4th, which will be here next week, is the date we'll see if he implements them. But as you saw already, he talked about tariffs and then pulled back and got a lot of, he was able to get a bunch of wins because of that. But to your point, John, to me, tariffs are taxes. They can be very detrimental to the economy. They hurt farmers in my district. They hurt manufacturers in my district. Now, what happens when countries like China play by a different set of rules and standards and cheat and steal and don't comply with international norms? Then you have to use tariffs in a tactical, strategic way to go after bad actors. And I think China is a poster child for that. I have more concern about using them against Canada and Mexico, because I think we are intertwined economically, to your point, in the supply chain, and that could be detrimental. So I think you have to be careful about that.
Have you spoken out then to the president? I haven't read where you stood on a soapbox and said that, and I won't even get into China with you, but I mean Canada, just as an example, our biggest trading partner, right? Shouldn't we?
Yeah.
So why are we taking our ally, our neighbor, and imposing that tax on them, which will hurt Americans when they try to purchase goods?
Well, let's first of all see if that happens. That's been proposed, but next week will be the time when it gets implemented.
All right, but we're getting close, Congressman. We're getting close here, aren't we? I mean, this kind of brinksmanship, I'm operating in the real world in real time right now, and that's what I'm being told the U.S. policy is. But go ahead.
No, it's not policy until it goes into effect. But, John, on that point, yes, I've talked to the new Treasury Secretary. I've talked to the new USTR specifically about my concerns on behalf of my farmers and manufacturers. We have to be careful about using these, and there could be real ramifications on this and hurt the people in my district and many others. So I have expressed that. But remember, this is something the president ran on. This is what he talked about. He used it in his first administration. I believe there could be collateral damage and consequences for that, and I've told the president and his team that.
So it's your belief that these tariffs will hurt Americans?
If they're used solely to go after Canada and Mexico, I think that could hurt the economic supply chain that affects America. Absolutely. But remember this, if tariffs are used in concert with tax cuts, deregulation, more energy production, I think it can offset some of that. And I think the goal of bringing more manufacturing and jobs back to the United States is a noble one. But I think you got to think about it in that lens.
Well, I think a lot of the ideas behind some of the actions of the administration are good ones, like cutting federal spending, et cetera. But the way you go about doing it is the problem. I must tell you that our government seems to be operating so haphazardly and sometimes with such vengeance, sometimes against U.S. citizens that it perceives as its enemies, and at times just so unseriously. The president talks about making Canada a state, Greenland a territory. He says Vladimir Zelensky is a dictator. He said Ukraine started the war. The U.S. FDA, I know you know this, just canceled a meeting to select next year's flu vaccines, even as our new HHS secretary is downplaying the measles outbreak in Texas. You've got thousands of people being laid off randomly. Some of them have to be called back. Millions were told to justify their work in 5 bullet points or be fired. But then the agencies many of them work for said ignore that memo. The legal interpretation from the White House today is that U.S. corporations should be allowed to bribe foreign governments and that the president doesn't have to abide by court orders, even those upheld by the Supreme Court. And one more point, Congressman, I just wanted you to hear what I'm hearing, and I know a lot of people are feeling. Dissenters will be fired and dissenting politicians will be primaried. Over 20 DOGE workers have quit because they didn't think what they were doing was justified or legal. The head of the FBI wants the UFC to do training for agents, something that would benefit greatly a friend of Donald Trump. And the president pushed out a music video this week that shows him and Vladimir Putin sunning on a Riviera-style beach resort in Gaza, as dollar bills rain around them and men dance around them. I hope you understand how unsettling all of this is. You know, the ideas you're talking about, you always sound so sensible, and even the ideas behind what you're talking about seem pretty good in principle. But how can we take seriously a government that is behaving this way? People feel so disconnected from our government right now that today they said they're not going to shop, even though they know that might be shooting themselves in the foot, but they don't think they're being heard. What do you say to us about all of this nonsense, Congressman?
Well, John, you packed a lot into that statement, and so we could be on for a long time talking about it, but a couple points that I will make. What I've learned with President Trump is take what he says seriously, but not literally. Do I think we're going to buy Greenland? No. Are we going to make Canada the 51st state? No. But do I think we ought to have a conversation about taking back Panama Canal because of the Chinese influence? Absolutely. Do I think we ought to be looking at using American soft power to put us in a better position for Americans? Of course. John, this would be a much different conversation if we were $36 trillion in surplus. We're not. It's an existential threat to this country.
So do you think we should be cutting U.S. aid? Should we be cutting U.S. aid? Is that where we need to start, soft power and cutting back excessive spendings, U.S. aid?
I think if you look at the number of those, the dollars we were spending in some areas of U.S. aid, yes, that needs to be changed. Not all of it, of course not. But again, when you're $36 trillion in debt, everything needs to be looked at through the lens of how do you make it more efficient, effective, and accountable. So the DOGE Commission is very disruptive. I get that. But we need some disruption, John. And frankly, that's why people elected Donald Trump, is to disrupt the system, because the path we're on has not been working. And is it a little unconventional? Of course it is. Is it going in a direction that causes people to be uncomfortable? Yes. But what do you do when you're going down this economic path of ruin, of $36 trillion in debt? You have to change things differently. And remember, John, President Trump, you know, he won all seven swing states. He won the popular vote. He won record amounts of African Americans and Hispanics. Now, the pressure is on him, and we ought to hold him accountable, and the courts are going to hold him accountable. You know, he doesn't have a veto-proof Senate. The one thing that I think President Trump listens to is the markets. How are the economic markets going to respond? How is the bond market going to respond? So there are checks and balances in the system. Listen, as one member of Congress, I know we have a responsibility to have oversight on the administration. And I will just say on what's happened in Ukraine, listen, I was one that supported Ukraine funding. To me, Putin is a thug, a criminal, ought to be in jail or assassinated. I mean, that's how strongly I feel about it. And so I have real concerns about that and have spoken up. But remember, President Trump ran and was elected on saying, I'm going to stop the war. And so people are surprised about these things that he's doing, but they're all things he talked about when he ran for president.
That sounds like Mayor Johnson in Chicago, though, saying, since I got elected, I have a mandate and I get to do everything I want. People wanted Donald Trump to be president, but I don't know that they want everything that he's doing right now. Let me ask you this. Do you think that Ukraine started the war in Ukraine or Russia started the war in Ukraine?
Absolutely not. Ukraine did not start the war. It was President Putin that invaded a sovereign, independent country and did it in a criminal aspect and ought to be held accountable, as I said.
Are you hearing from federal employees or other individuals in your district who have lost their job or are worried about their job?
I have. We have, as you know, John, we have an ag lab, USDA lab in my district that's had some layoffs of probationary people, not full-time employees. As you know, there was exemptions put into the getting rid of some of our federal employees. It does not affect law enforcement or security or intelligence services. But again, probationary folks have been put on notice, and that's affected our ag lab a little bit. But again, that review process of figuring out, you know, do we have the funds to keep going down this path? We ought to look at how we can contain that and make our government run more efficient, more effective, more accountable, like you would with any business.
Would you continue to aid Ukraine if they didn't give us mineral rights?
Well, let's see what happens today with this agreement that's going to be signed at the White House. I'm glad President Zelensky is coming to meet with President Trump. I think it offers an opportunity for him to present his case. And let's see what the mineral deal is. Obviously, rare earth minerals are very important to the future of our country. And let's see how that works to benefiting our country. But, you know, I don't want to get in the middle of that negotiation. I want to make sure we get the best deal possible for the wind down of this conflict with Russia, that Putin is held accountable, and that Ukraine is in a stable position to move forward.
I'll give you the last word, Congressman, and I just have one last question for you. Do you feel like the Congress's power of the purse is being usurped by the executive branch? It seems like a lot of the things that the Congress has either allocated money for or has as a sole responsibility, the president is taking over. Talk to me just a little bit about the balance of power as you see it.
Well, on the DOGE Commission, which is our Department of Government Efficiency that Elon Musk is in charge of, he's laid out a whole litany of things that need to be changed in federal government. But the vast majority, I would say 95% of these things that have been mentioned and proposed, are going to have to be voted on by Congress. So, you know, the changes that are being made are very, very minimal in the Trump administration. The hard part's going to be us voting on those list of things that the DOGE Commission has come up with on making government, you know, getting rid of fraud, waste, and abuse. And we can have a conversation about what that is, and there'll be disputes about that. But that will have to be debated in Congress as part of our oversight role. And, you know, I think there's many that will be interested in doing that, but that will have to be a vote and a debate.
I don't envy you for trying to get the budget cut or passed without cutting Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security. That can be done?
Well, we got to look at everything. And you know, again, when we're $36 trillion in debt, everything has to be on the table on how you do that. So, yeah, I mean, how do you use a scalpel instead of a sledgehammer? How do we get rid of the fraud, waste, and abuse without hurting people? And particularly if you look at these programs you just mentioned, you know, they've been reserved for helping the most vulnerable in our communities and in America. And that's the social safety network that's been there to help. So that has to remain there. And so, yes, we have a very difficult situation in how you, again, use a strategic approach on doing that. I mean, as one member of Congress, I look forward to taking that very seriously in a very responsible way, looking out for the best interest of taxpayers, but also making sure we're not hurting people too much.
Okay, Congressman, you get the last word. So just to your constituents and our radio audience, say something that reassures me that we have responsible and sensible people running the country right now.
Well, John, we just had an election. We didn't argue about election fraud or a election that didn't work. Our democracy held. People may not like the results of the election, but it was a clean election. It worked well. Our democracy worked the way that it should have. Now we got to move forward and we got to govern. And governing is a messy process, but we still live in the greatest country in the world. If you pop your head up, John, and you look around the globe and think, boy, I'd rather be somewhere else, there's no way. I mean, we have, a country that is predicated on, you know, our democracy, but a country that works. We have the greatest economy in the world. We have the greatest people in this world. We have the strongest military. The U.S. is in a much better position than we ever have been in the past. But, you know, part of our governing is the legislative branch holding the executive branch accountable when things aren't working the right way, to stand up and speak on behalf of the people that we represent. And that's really who I'm beholden to, John, is the 750,000 people that I'm fortunate enough to represent. And I think all members of Congress take that approach. But it's part of our governing process moving forward.
I hope so. I think a lot of people are popping their head up, looking around and not recognizing the country that they see. And that's what, you know, I wanted to talk to you about today. So I hope things go well for all of us. You use the word existential. And I think a lot of people feel like America is in an existential crisis right now. It doesn't look or feel like the country that we know.
Well, John, on that point, again, I go back to elections have consequences, positive and negative. We've seen that, you know, people said that when Ronald Reagan got elected in 1980, oh, the country's going to be terrible. We're going to go down the hill. Go back and look at the you know, people thought the country was going to end. Of course it didn't end. We are resilient. We are a democracy based on the people. people spoke in a very convincing way, and now we'll see what the Trump administration has done. I mean, they are off to a strong start. But I think one thing that people have realized is people want to see their president, different from Joe Biden, who we never saw or never was around. Trump is very transparent. He has a press conference every single day, whether you like it or you don't like it. But no one can argue that he hasn't been bold and upfront and very energetic in the first month here. And, of course, we're going to have an election less than 2 years from now for the House of Representatives and the Senate. And so people will have an opportunity to judge that at that time under our democratic system. And I know people get upset about this, and they should, because we are, we have to be accountable to the people. But, again, this is part of the transformation that is America. Sometimes we take two steps forward, one step back. We just got to make sure we keep moving the country in the right direction, and I'm committed to doing that.
I hope so. I hope so. I'd like you to stay in the Congress, and I know you look around, see the lay of the land, and you must be judging your own viability there. And that is the way the system works and should work. So continue to represent your district, and thank you so much for coming on with us, Darren. This has been a helpful conversation.
Thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good weekend.
You too, sir.